Welcome to Music and the Message from St. Peter Lutheran Church in Gilberts, Illinois. We pray this blend of musical praise and the spoken word will enlighten your day and bring you closer to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
The following readings and sermon are from the church service on Sunday, September 27th, 2020.
Reading is from Ezekiel chapter 18. The word of the Lord came to me. What do you mean by repeating this proverb concerning the land of Israel? The fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge? As I live, declares the Lord God, this proverb shall no more be used by you in Israel. Behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the father as well as the soul of the son is mine. The soul who sins shall die. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is not just. Hear now, O house of Israel, is my way not just? Is it not your ways that are not just? When a righteous person turns away from his righteousness and does injustice, he shall die for it. For the injustice that he has done, he shall die. Again, when a wicked person turns away from the wickedness he has committed and does what is just and right, he shall save his life. Because he considered and turned away from all the transgressions that he had committed, he shall surely live. He shall not die. Yet the house of Israel says, the way of the Lord is not just. O house of Israel, are my ways not just? Is it not your ways that are not just? Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, every one according to his ways, declares the Lord God. Repent and turn from all your transgressions, lest iniquity be your ruin. Cast away from you all the transgressions that you have committed, and make yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. Why will you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the Lord God. So turn and live. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from Philippians chapter 2. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 21st chapter. When Jesus entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came up to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" Jesus answered them, "I also will ask you one question. And if you tell me the answer, then I also will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, from where did it come? From heaven or from man?" As they discussed it among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we say from man, we are afraid of the crowd, for they all hold that John was a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
My brothers and sisters in Christ, it is so good to see you. I don't know about you, but I was listening to the gospel lesson, and a word that was happening in that gospel lesson was authority. And I thought, I wonder what the word authority means. Well, authority means to be in command, to have the power. And I thought, that's pretty cool. So I brought with me a balloon. And I thought, do you have the power or authority to blow this balloon up without using any air? I'm just curious. Do you think you could do it? Let's see. Blow up balloon. Should I say it like I'm more in charge, maybe, with more authority? Blow up balloon. Yeah, no, I can't really do that. My parents, they have authority. They're in charge. Teachers, they have authority, and they're in charge. Lots of people are in charge and have authority, but there is nobody but our Jesus who is in charge of so many things that he has the power to make things happen that couldn't normally happen. So I'm going to take this balloon and we're going to allow Jesus the power and the authority to blow up this balloon without blowing into the balloon. Pretty awesome, right? Well, here's the deal, my friends. Jesus has the authority. He has the power. He can say, walk on water, and somebody can walk on water. He has the authority to tell somebody, be healed, and they will be healed. Jesus is in command no matter what is happening on this earth. He has the ability and the authority to forgive our sins and to allow us to go to heaven even though we're sinners. So now, guess what? You have the authority, you have the power to forgive other people their sins. You have the power, you have the authority to show love to others and to be kind. And my friends, you have the power and the authority to tell others about Jesus. Will you pray with me? Dear Jesus.
Dear Jesus.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
For all you do. Thank you for the power.
Thank you for the power
of your love and forgiveness.
Of your love and forgiveness.
May we tell others.
May we tell others
of your power and love.
Of your power and love.
In your name we pray.
In your name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Go and tell others how awesome our Jesus is.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and from our Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Is there something you'd like to change in your life, in your child's life, in the life of this world? If you were granted the power to make that change, would you act upon it? Would you take immediate action? My friends, I would encourage you to think carefully before you act. The power to do something and having the authority to do it are two entirely different things. Just because I have the power to do something does not mean I am authorized to do it. And this is precisely why we witness so many power struggles taking place in our world today. I would encourage you to take a look out there, confident that you already have. And what do you see? Rioting in the streets, looting. There's marchers taking over roads and public highways. Is this any just cause for unjust actions? Some might ask, how even is this possible in a nation that has long prided itself in the reputation of being an orderly society? Well, many leaders have ceded their authority to unruly mobs. Governing officials even applaud and walk arm in arm with the lawless. And why? It's quite simple. Power. Control. That's the name of the game. That's their motive. And it's more evident today than ever before. Those who raise their voices the loudest and intimidate those who will not march in lockstep with them are exercising their power. whether they have the authority to do it or not. It all comes down to a question of authority. Now, in today's text, the chief priests and the elders questioned Jesus about his authority. Now, these men had been formally trained for their positions of authority. They had been groomed for the positions they enjoy as religious leaders of their community. And then along comes this carpenter's son teaching in the temple, their temple. And so they asked Jesus, should you be doing that? Are you authorized to do this sort of thing? Well, perhaps that doesn't sound all that unreasonable until you understand their motives for asking those questions. And the questions they ask will tell you much about their motives. They don't ask Jesus out of curiosity, who are you? They already know who he is. But no, instead, out of arrogance, out of ego, they would demand of Jesus, just who do you think you are? Well, as you've probably figured out by now, the chief priests and elders are staking out their claim. What is Jesus doing on their turf? Just who is in control here? And by the way, they're already aware of Jesus' divine authority. A religious leader named Nicodemus let the cat out of the bag when he told Jesus, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs you do unless God is with him. So knowing that, why would they treat Jesus with such disrespect? Who are they to question his place in the temple? And why would they challenge his authority? There's got to be a motive, right? And so, what was it? And what would it take? What would it mean to acknowledge the authority of Christ? It would mean humbling themselves before him. Now, you might ask, why would they hesitate to do that? They're already aware of Jesus' authority. Well, Jesus was well aware of what they cherished in their hearts, and it wasn't him. Jesus said they loved the place of honor at banquets and the most important seats in the synagogues. They loved to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to be called rabbis by others. And they weren't about to give up those titles, that pride and authority and ego, those privileges. They weren't willing to give any of that up to Jesus, were they? Now, when we hear this, we might think, boy, what a bunch of self-righteous jerks. And you know, that's what I once thought. Could that be what you're thinking? Well, before any of us starts throwing stones, you need to think about your own life before God. No one in the church here today, including me, enjoys being put in our rightful place. Every single one of us likes to be in control. We like to call the shots, especially when it comes to how we choose to live our lives. And when we fear for a loss of control, we fight back. We dig in. We gossip and slander. We discredit our opponents. We want to hold on to what we have. Because when you've got a good thing going, you don't want someone coming in and messing it all up, do you? And nowhere, my friends, is this truer than in the church. The Word of God is authoritative. And some people will say to me, well, that's true, and that's fine, Pastor, as long as it doesn't get in the way of my authority. You see, we prefer to judge who is and what is right or wrong, regardless of what God Almighty says on the matter. All we have to do is look at a culture that has redefined marriage, that mocks the traditional family, that approves of the murder of the unborn, that mocks the governing officials, that disrespects and attacks those who are charged with protecting our safety, and promotes violence and lawlessness to advance a cause that can't even be explained. And as for those who would speak what God has already spoken by his authority, well, they are decried as bigots. They are hate mongers. They are intolerant. They are wrong and unjust and loving. And of course, it doesn't end with the issues of the day. Try talking about those everyday sins like gossip, like holding grudges, or just simply being too lazy to show up for worship on a Sunday morning. Now take it from me. You don't make many friends when you address those sins. And yes, they are sins. Your Lord is very clear about these things in his word. And believe me, it hurts. It hurts to have people in the church tell me to back off or to rethink my position because of someone's unique situation. I have been told, Pastor, these are different times. This isn't your grandparents' church anymore. To which I say, no, it's not. It's God's church. It always has been. It always will be. And what God says to our grandparents, he says to you and me. But sometimes even that holds no sway. When you present the word of God to some folks and they say to you, who are you to tell me what to do? I'm no one. God is. But they kill the messenger. Just speak what God says by his authority, and you will hear just as I have heard. Who do you think you are? But you know, that's a good question. Just who do you think you are? Who's in charge here? You, me, or God? Do any of us have the power to hold grudges, to gossip, to withhold our gifts of time, talent, and treasure because we don't agree with something? Do we have the power to take our ball and go somewhere else when there's something happening at the church we just don't like? Well, sadly, we do. And even more sadly, people in the church do it all the time. So yes, we do have the power to do these things. But does that give us the authority to behave in these ways toward God, toward his children and his church? Do we have the authority to tell God what is right? By whose authority are you declared a sinner who must repent? By whose authority are your sins forgiven? Who has the authority to tell us, if you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven? And if you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld. And by whose authority do I proclaim to you, in the name and by the stead and command of my Lord Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven? By whose authority are you declared righteous and holy? Yours, mine, or God's? Now hear this, my friends. I didn't die on the cross for your sins, and you didn't die on the cross for mine. Jesus Christ died on the cross for us all. And we don't have the authority or the power to make one hair white or black. But in his death and resurrection, the Lord Jesus Christ demonstrated his total authority over death and the grave. And his resurrection means a new and eternal life for everyone who believes in his name. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all I have commanded you. Do you know what that is? That's the voice of Jesus. That's the voice of authority, and that voice speaks to you today. God grant that you hear it, that you receive it, that you take it to heart with all joy. And may God grant that you do. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this edition of Music and the Message, brought to you from St. Peter Lutheran Church, located in Gilberts, Illinois. Worship services are held on Sundays at 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m., and on Saturday evenings at 5 p.m. For more information, please visit our website at www.stpeterlutheran.org. Thanks for listening, and God's blessings on your week.